Well, one of the, hopefully you already know this, but one of the core values and desires for us at SBC is that we want to be people who send out our family members, and we are family together, out into this world that God loves. In fact, we would argue that that is really a part of who we're created to be at our very essence. My former church that we served in Wisconsin, there was basically one exit that everybody went out. Our sanctuary hall, there's all these different exits. There was one exit, and I'll never forget, above the door going out, so not coming in, but above the door going out, back out into the parking lot, there was this plaque, and it said, "You are now entering the mission field." And I thought, you know, how appropriate is that? Right? And I think it's true. We are called and invited to exhibit through our words and our deeds what the kingdom of God looks like in real time. And that is across the street in our neighbors, and it's across the state, and it's around the world. And in fact, there's nothing more exciting than that. There's nothing more wonderful than that. It comes often with a sense of adventure and fun and camaraderie. Whenever we hear back from our students coming from Tijuana, watching the videos and everything, you can tell the amount of fun and camaraderie and adventure that happens. In fact, sometimes we can even romanticize it, assigning it this exploration of foreign lands and these new experiences, and how wonderful is this, and it certainly is. But the reality is that when we do kingdom work, it's joyful work, but it also costs us something. Essentially, to be mission-minded, as we want to be in our mission statement and our vision statement, is hard work. It costs us something. In fact, we would say it costs us everything. But the beauty is that when we give ourselves over to it, to being sent, we are never the same. We are never the same, and the world is never the same. And so today, we get to hear, and you'll see their names in the bulletin, we get to hear from two people, Natalie Stender and Carmen Pims. Just a quick reminder of who they are. Natalie is a child of this church and the daughter of Steve and Kara Stender. She's an adult member, a confirmed member of this church, SBC. And she spent this last summer serving Jesus in Thailand, working with some women who were in and getting out of the sex industry there. And she's going to tell us about that. And then Carmen, you might not know her. She's not a member of this church, but she is one of our sisters in Christ. And she is the executive director of Campbell Farm. And Campbell Farm is the ministry in eastern Washington on the Wapato Indian Reservation where our middle schoolers go every summer. So you've heard that name maybe before. And she is the executive director there. And I think what we're going to hear from both of them is both the call as well as the heartbreak of what it means to go out into that mission field that God calls each of us to. And so before I invite them up, I want to read our second passage here. Taylor read for us from Jeremiah 29. Now we're going to hear from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And these are good words for us to live by on this Mission Sunday. It says, "So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight, momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure, because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal." I'll pray for us. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful text of Scripture, and thank you for this day, and thank you for these two women who are here to share us their story. And so, Lord, in the sharing of their story, in their testimony, may we hear you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Natalie.
Hi. Like Jeff said, my name is Natalie, and I'm a sophomore at UW. And this past summer, I was in Thailand through University Presbyterian Church's World Deputation Program. My team consisted of five women, and we spent 8 weeks doing bar outreach, befriending women who had already left bar work, and teaching kids about Jesus. We saw a vast injustice in the sex tourism industry, and our hearts broke for the people oppressed by it. But we were constantly reminded of Jesus' power to triumph over the darkness. A passage of scripture that stood out to me during my trip was John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. This passage was a beautiful reminder of the victory that Jesus' grace claims over sin of the world. In Thailand, it would have been so easy to be overwhelmed by the evil surrounding us. Lust, greed, objectification, and abuse seemed to be everywhere. We spent 10 days in Pattaya, which is known as the sex tourism capital of the world. Just standing on the balcony of our hotel at night showed us miles of bars, flashing lights, and dancers who would rather be anywhere else in the world. The immense darkness felt so heavy. But even in Pattaya, we saw so much evidence of God redeeming his children. Our ministry hosts, Oh and Somjit, were women who had left bar work. They shared their testimonies, and I was so saddened by the depth of the emptiness that they had experienced. Like many, they had been raised by sisters and aunts in a village as their mother worked to send money home. They grew up to be what the Thai call second wives, mistresses whose self-worth was completely dependent on the affirmation, or more often, lack of affirmation from others. When they worked in the bars, they were dehumanized by the name tag that they wore that didn't even have their name on it, only a number. Their hope was to find a foreigner who had enough money to take them out of the bar and give them a new life. Their circumstances were so dark, but Jesus met them there. Because of volunteers persistently doing outreach in the bars, they heard about the Tamar Center, where they could become trained as hairdressers and, more importantly, learn about Jesus' love for them. A love that filled the holes in their hearts and set them free. When they shared their testimonies, I had already known them for a while, and I was so surprised to learn about the trials that they had been through, because they have been completely renewed. All day long, Oh and Somjit joke around and laugh at each other. They joyfully care for the people around them as their own family, and they chat nonstop with anyone they meet. And their favorite topic to talk about is, fittingly, Jesus. One afternoon, Oh and Somjit took us to the Tamar Center on Soi 6. This building is where women are trained as hairdressers after they have been rescued from the bars. Its location on Soi 6 places it in the middle of hundreds of nightclubs that employ thousands of women. On the fourth floor, there is a prayer room where we stayed for hours. Worshipping Jesus' name with volunteers from all over the world, our voices reverberated off the walls in unbound praise. At first, it seemed strange to be singing of God's goodness when there was so much oppression right outside the windows. But then God opened my heart to feel the Holy Spirit revealing a new understanding of his power. Our God can move mountains, part seas, and heal with just a corner of his cloak. He is so glorious, yet cares to be in personal relationship with every one of his children. All who choose to let him in, as my ministry hosts Owen Somjit did, will experience a fullness of life that is so transformative that it could come from nowhere else but the Lord. As we worshiped amidst the chaos outside our windows, I understood for the first time what it means to be a light in the darkness. It doesn't mean that we, as Christians, will solve the world's problems or even see our effect. It would have been awesome if our 8-week trip had resulted in masses of women leaving their bar jobs and learning about Jesus' love, but that's not exactly what happened. Sex trafficking is a big, complex, intimidating problem. But we have a bigger God, and he is faithful. Though it may have seemed like our effect was small, we know that heaven rejoices over every single lost sheep who is found by his love. The authority that Jesus has given us triumphs over the darkness every single time. So our job is to praise God even in the middle of Soi 6, trusting in him that he will water the seeds that we are planting. God is working in Thailand. His reassurance rings true from Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5. Look at the nations and watch, and be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told. Let us pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day and for giving us the opportunity to come together and worship you. Thank you for this congregation and for all their support for my trip through finances, prayer, and mentorship. I thank you for protecting my team and revealing your Holy Spirit to us. God, you are greater than we could ever imagine. I ask that you would increase your presence in Thailand and all over the world, even in our own communities where sex trafficking is taking place. Lord, you see the hurt, you see the brokenness and the injustice, and you long to be with your people. God, make your light known in the darkness. Instill in your people a craving that can only be satisfied by your living water. Renew the spirits of missionaries working to bring you glory, and guide them to reach the right people who will hear the good news and want to learn more about you. Lord, you are performing miracles in Thailand. Mend the cycle of poverty that pushes people to sell their bodies. Curb the demand for sex tourism. Cause buyers to reevaluate their decisions and turn from sin. Close bars and nightclubs that employ sex workers. Provide resources for more children to attend school past age 15. Lord, light a fire in the hearts of new believers that they may be filled with passion to know you more. God, bless your people and fill them with hope in your name. You are the Almighty God, and we trust in you to light up the darkness. In your name, amen.
Good morning. I'm Brian Keenley, the youth director here. And one of the fun things about doing a Sunday morning like this with the Mission Fair is that youth are very involved in a lot of different ways with mission in this church. And it's something I think that we can't celebrate enough. And but sometimes we don't know the people to put the face on the missions that we are a part of and have been a part of for a long time. And so this morning, it is my great privilege to introduce Carmen to you. As Jeff said, Carmen is the executive director at Campbell Farm. And here's what I love about Carmen. I've known her, it feels like a short time, but it feels like a very long time. Because if you spend 5 minutes with Carmen, you will know that you have a friend. And there's not a lot of people that are like that. But I think if you know Carmen, you're nodding your head right now, because there's something very authentic about Carmen, and her story is compelling. The mission that they have is compelling, and it changes me. Even in the time that we do have, last night we had a chance to talk, and I walked away changed with my picture of the gospel having grown. And I think that it will do that same for you. So Carmen, welcome. We're really glad to have you here, and I would love for you just to give maybe the folks that don't know as much about the partnership that SBC has with Campbell Farm kind of a window into what that looks like.
First and foremost, I just want to say thank you for all of the support that you've given us in our community. Our community is 95% poverty level. In fact, I take that back. We are now 98%, according to our newest report card. But without your support and your prayers, some of the things that we do wouldn't happen. So I just have to say thank you for that. The relationship that we've had, I've been at Campbell Farm now for 17 years. I can remember some of the kids and some of your leaders that came when I first started at the farm. That's how long that I know the relationship. The relationship is as long as I've been here. I no longer see you guys just as a mission partner. We consider you guys a part of our Atawi Tetahuat, which means loving family in my language. Like I said, family stands together and lifts one another and supports one another in times of trial and need and celebration. And that's the relationship that we have with SBC.
And it is, I wish I could just show you the pictures, but more than that, the experience of what it is to be there. We bring middle school students every summer and have a chance to serve alongside Carmen and Deanna and the staff. in the community, and it is beautiful. It is a beautiful picture of the Christ-centered, mission-minded family that we talk about here that extends beyond the walls of the church. But it is not always, or maybe ever, an easy thing to do, and we've talked a lot about that. But Carmen, what does it look like to do ministry in a challenging community with challenges that maybe are unique or not so unique, but that stretch you and that impact you and your family and the staff? What does that look like?
It's never easy at the farm. First and foremost, it is a farm, so we actually really do have farm life. But amongst the farm challenges, we have our community challenges. When I first started at Campbell Farm, I really wasn't sure what I was getting myself into. I started as the cook, and I started, you know, and the pastor in residence would invite me to worship and do morning devotions and things like that. And it was good, you know, that was good. At the end of the summer, everybody went away, and I went back to my regular job. But things, as we know, life continues. I came back the following summer, same situation, same scenario. And it triggered something. When I was a child, I was born and raised, I'm an enrolled tribal member. When I was a child, mission groups used to come to my community, and they picked me and my sister, and I'm sisters. There's seven of us, and I'm the oldest. They would pick us up, and they'd take us to their church. We'd do the vacation Bible school. They would go away. And it gave the message that God was part-time. We were the congregation left behind. Life is not like that, and God is not part-time. When I took over as the director, we became full-time ministry on lots of things. I remember one of the first times sitting in the office as the director after Sherry, my mentor, had passed away from cancer. I remember sitting in there, and this young couple came in, and they had to be at least maybe in their early 20s, but they were looking for someone to help them bury their child. They had nowhere. No, they didn't have a church home. They didn't know what to do or how to do it. So I reached out to some of my pastor friends. I said, hey, I have a couple here that need help. And we buried their child. This was my first inkling of, hey, God is calling me to something greater. Never, ever did I realize that those seeds that were planted when I believed God was a part-time God would ever lead to where I'm at today. When I was a child in going to vacation Bible school and having people hang out and play with me and sing these Bible songs and do these activities with me as a little half-breed girl on the reservation raising six sisters, would I ever believe that I would be able to sit up here today in the church of God as a child of Christ working towards ordination? That happened because mission groups came and they planted that seed. And today I sit here. So as you are sending your young people, or as you are going out, as you are greeting people, you may never see the impact of what you have done, but it's real. God is really working.
There you go. Carmen could tell you story after story, and you may have a chance to interact with her and Deanna outside the doors after the service. One of the things that we support here at SBC not only is bringing kids out, but also the after-school program mm-hmm. that happens. And there are so many different pieces that I wish we could cover all today. But I want to end with this because, as you may already have had a taste, I walk away challenged from conversations with Carmen and Deanna and Campbell Farm, and like a lot of us do with people. So, Carmen, how would you challenge us as a family, as part of, as you kind of said, part of that extended congregation? How would you challenge us?
Like I said earlier about being the congregation left behind, and then realizing what was in me and how I was being called, and how that seed was planted. And had I been afraid and not stepped through those doors of that calling and being trusting enough to know that God wouldn't drop me as he's calling me, and being that reflection of God's grace to me, to others, I challenge you guys to be true to who God is calling you to be. Be that perfect reflection of God's love and grace, not only to your community or yourself or your immediate, but as when people see you, the first thing they see is that you're a child of God and you're reflecting your Father's face in love and grace.
Thanks, Carmen.